How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. Here to talk all of the news, including the big WWE show of the summer, SummerSlam from Los Angeles, taking place tonight, moments after the show goes off the air. We're going to have live running play-by-play on the front page of the website starting at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, but until then, we have 2 hours, a preview show here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to talk about all of the matches. Brock Lesnar, or as Paul Heyman would say, Brock Lesnar against Triple H is the main event. We've got Triple H versus John Cena versus The Big Show in a three-way for the WWE title, Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus for the world title, a bunch of other matches as well. We're going to go over all of them here on the program, leading into the big pay-per-view this evening. We've also got news from last night's Strikeforce event. Ronda Rousey defending her title for the first time against Sarah Kaufman. And the question, as always, can Ronda Rousey win in under a minute with an armbar? Everybody knows it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming immediately. Was Sarah Kaufman able to defend? Was she able to last more than a minute? Was she able to perhaps win? Of course not. We'll talk about that later on as well. Plus, last weekend, this show kicked off the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view from TNA. We're going to talk about that pay-per-view, all of the matches on the show. There's a lot of news coming out of TNA, including a mystery. I could say a murder mystery because the character will never be seen again. Where is Claire Lynch? We're going to talk about that on the program today. Plus, replacing Claire Lynch in some ways on the program is the lovely former ECW GM Tiffany, now Taryn Terrell, now a referee. We got a lot to talk about there. Plus, Raw, Impact. Mike saw the main event of the Shine pay-per-view last night. We're going to talk about Linda McMahon winning the primary. A little bit more on the G1. Tons of news, pro wrestling, and mixed martial arts. We're going to be back in just a moment to kick it off. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be taking your phone calls today, your SummerSlam predictions. For those of you that are unaware, if you'd like to call into this program, the best way to do so is to follow me on Twitter. Whenever we're taking calls, I tweet the information. We've got 4 phone lines here on the program. I'll give you the numbers, give you the specifics. It's all up on Twitter, so always follow me at Brian Alvarez for all of the latest information on how to call into this program, and just news, fun, and excitement in general, and pictures of my cats. What could be better than that? And, of course, Mike, how you doing today, and what's your Twitter?
That would be at Sempervivi. But you know what? You retweet me all the time, so it's just easier to follow
your
Twitter. It's Brian Alvarez right there.
Have I ever retweeted you?
Probably not.
I actually don't use Twitter a lot, but that's actually an incentive for all of you to follow me on Twitter. You will largely not be bombarded with messages ever. Unless, for example, I go to WrestleMania, then I'll tweet about every match. In fact, you know what? I may tweet about SummerSlam all afternoon. It's possible. But we'll see. So follow us on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez and at Sempervivi. Now, Mike, the show is this afternoon, SummerSlam. It is the supposed big event of the summer for WWE. And the main event of the show appears to be Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. That's certainly what they're pushing as the main event of the show. We'll see what happens. Last week, the word was that possibly that match was not going on last. That rather the title match with John Cena, CM Punk, and The Big Show was going on last. And I would find that to be surprising, unless the idea is that John Cena wins the title and everybody goes home happy, and on the undercard, Brock Lesnar defeats Triple H. Now, when push comes to shove, what do I honestly think is going to happen at the end of the program today? I expect that Triple H pins Brock Lesnar clean in the middle of the ring with a pedigree, and I expect CM Punk retains the title over John Cena and the Big Show when John Cena hits the Big Show with the AA, after which he's been trying to do for a while now, and CM Punk has foiled him every time. This time, CM Punk allows him to do the move, but then throws him out of the ring and pins the Big Show and retains his title. What are your thoughts on those two matches?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think when it comes to Punk, and that's the way I would like it to be, although I guess if it is moved into the main event spot and you do have Brock Lesnar winning, which, again, I don't know why you can't just do both things. I believe Brock Lesnar should win this. Obviously, we've talked about this since, you know, they looked like they were going in this direction, and it's, you know, you've made it quite clear, and everyone else has as well. They think the result is that Triple H is going to win. I understand that, and that's probably what's going to happen. It just baffles me because you have all the political excuse in the world if you're Triple H. And, hey, I try to do the best thing for the company. No matter what the result is with Brock Lesnar at the end of the day when he leaves, you'll have a built-in excuse if you're Triple H. And the thing is, you only have one match left with Brock Lesnar that really matters. I guess you could do two because you could have one with The Rock in the meantime. But realistically, it's whatever his match is going to be at WrestleMania. I've already seen him lose clean to John Cena at a time where you could have had him go through and just maul John Cena to death. And this whole lead up to the match with Triple H has not been, nothing has made me want to spend $50 to watch Brock Lesnar and Triple H, which is, it's amazing. And the way that, and again, I don't know, I'm not there, so I'm not sure what the situation is between Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Triple H, and everybody else, but the way it's come across on TV, it's just, I have not been able to get fully invested in it, and it just, it's not working for me. So the only thing that really, I think that can jumpstart this and keep Brock Lesnar strong is him winning over Triple H, which again, if you're Triple H, you have all the excuse in the world to do and be able to get out of it if you're called on the carpet later on for it.
Well, Brock did maul John Cena. I just want to throw that in there, even though he lost in the end. It
he
was mauled, a mauling.
Yes, he banana peel lost, and then what they did with him after that, and again, they could have, and they did had the limited dates, and that's fine, but it's not like they used him well after that to make him, you know, to make it feel like, you know, nobody's going to remember that he mauled him. They're going to remember that he lost.
Let's take some phone calls here as far as what people think is going to happen at SummerSlam. You are on the air. What is your SummerSlam predictions?
Hey there, we're here at Super China Buffet. Our SummerSlam predictions here. We are going to go with Brock Lesnar beating Triple H, CM Punk retaining, possibly doing some heelish shenanigans along the way and going full heel. Santino will retain on the pre-show. The tag titles will not go to the primetime players, staying with Kofi and Truth. Ray will beat The Miz because that's the way things go. There will probably be a Ryback match with Jinder Mahal. And he'll win because he wants to eat more. And Jericho and Dolph will be a great match. And Dolph will probably win because Jericho's on the way out with Fozzy. And also, Brian will defeat Kane because I guess that's why.
That's some bad predictions right there. Where are you guys at?
We're here in Springfield, Ohio at the Hibachi Grill.
Oh, my.
Having a good time.
God, how many people turned out?
Well, there's just two of us. Just me and my buddy.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Well, good predictions. I want to thank you very much for the call, and have fun at the buffet, my friend. So there you go, everybody. That's a bunch of predictions there. We're going to actually go over the whole card here in a moment, but looks like everyone's calling now. So let's take this line. You are on the air. Let's get your SummerSlam predictions. Who do you think is going to win the top matches? You're on the air. Who is this?
Hello.
Hey, Brian, what's happening? Brian. What's up?
I'm Wilfred Picardi from Puerto Rico. How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Hey.
I'm doing good. Listen, only one matchup for Puerto Rico to buy this pay-per-view match show is going to be Brock Lesnar and Triple H. And I can see maybe Brock Lesnar winning, and that's the fact that I have a question for you guys. Maybe after what happened on Monday, after Brock Lesnar attacked Shawn Michaels, can see Shawn Michaels coming back and maybe attacking Brock, and instead of Brock attacking Brock, attacks Triple H, and then they call Triple H the match, so can set up a feud down the road between Triple H and Shawn Michaels. You guys see that down the road?
Well, that when the show was over on Monday, I'm actually going to let you go. Your phone connection is kind of bad, but I want to thank you very much for the call. The Angle Monday, that was something a lot of people were talking about because of the way that it went down. Brock, he broke Shawn Michaels' arm. Triple H had run down there to save him, and for a number of reasons, the way they shot the angle, Triple H was told, you know, if you come any closer, I'm going to break his arm, and he didn't. And then Brock broke the arm anyway, like a classic heel. And when Triple H got into the ring and Brock bailed, Shawn was yelling at Hunter. And that led a lot of people to believe, including some people in WWE, that, oh my God, they're going to put Shawn back in the ring at WrestleMania, either with Triple H or with Brock. And there's a lot of ways you could go if Shawn Michaels is willing to come back and have a match. Shawn Michaels and Brock would be a... I would actually prefer to see Shawn Michaels and Triple H, because I think that Brock has such a physical style that there's no way Shawn Michaels can do that style at 48 years old. He just can't. He'd either kill himself or he'd be disappointed in the WrestleMania match. But I think that him and Hunter could have a very good match and nobody would get killed. And you could even do some sort of stipulation where Hunter ends up so angry and he wants Shawn back so badly, maybe as a result of whatever you do tonight, that he offers to put his career on the line for one last match with Shawn Michaels. And I guess everything kind of comes full circle and Shawn retires Hunter at WrestleMania. But with all that said, the word Tuesday was that Shawn had no intentions of coming back. Shawn had no plans of doing WrestleMania. Shawn had no plans of wrestling Triple H or Brock Lesnar. So it appears, at least at this point, that's out the window. But you never know. Money talks, I guess, is the best way to put it. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I guess we can get into this a little bit after the break. But, I mean, if nothing else, by that time, Ric Flair should be available. So imagine having him in the mix in the retirement for WrestleMania.
That's right. Two retired guys and Triple H with Triple H's career on the line.
And everyone can feel happy about who they retired against.
That's right. That is right. All right, we're going to talk more about this after the break, everybody. Back in about 3 minutes, so keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We are concentrating at this moment on the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view, which takes place tonight, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, on pay-per-view. We're going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If you don't get the show, but you want to get all the results as they take place, place to go is WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer and I are also going to be up later on tonight with a brand new radio show only for website subscribers, talking all of the matches, including the main event we spent the first segment talking about, the Brock Lesnar versus Triple H match. And it appears that Brock Lesnar is probably done until Royal Rumble after tonight. That's been the plan for a long time. So I don't know if that plays into the finish. I know that in the past, for example, with Undertaker's matches at WrestleMania, they build up to a big match and there's no follow-up because both men disappear from TV for a prolonged period of time. So I suspect that whatever the finish is tonight, it's going to be perhaps decisive one way or the other. That's why I still predict a pedigree in the middle of the ring. And then both guys disappear off TV for a while. And Mike, the question is, should they have a war tonight? And it goes very similar to the first match where Brock destroys Triple H. Maybe Triple H even bleeds. And finally, in the end, Triple H gives him that pedigree under the steel steps or something like that and pins him clean in the middle. And Brock completely disappears until January when he makes a big return. How much does this hurt Brock, or will fans largely have forgotten the loss by the time he comes back?
They won't have forgotten the loss, but they won't care about it. But the problem with all of this is Rock comes back last year, they get a 3-1 or a 3-2. Brock comes back 3-1 or 3-2. Mick Foley came back for a minute, 3-1 or 3. The rating never changes. There's this big wave of apathy over everything because nothing's new, nothing's exciting. We're, you know, the 3 hours, the first hour is always going to be a drag. We're going into football season. It's just, you know, Brock losing in the same fashion and disappearing into the abyss without anything, and he's just going to go away quietly because they don't have dates on him and they're not creative enough or have the will because of who it is to continue on and build a story around him even though he's not going to be there. It's just, it's a big waste, and nothing really matters. I mean, I'm not saying there's so much damage that's done where even if they do something creative coming out of this, it's still not going to spike it up a whole lot, but it at least will create some more interest into the whole thing. I mean, if you're buying SummerSlam tonight, you're buying it for the fact that you probably always buy SummerSlam. I think it'll do a little bit better than how it's been doing, but I think the economy and lots of other things are at play in that. More so than what's on the card. But if again, nothing's going to help it anyway. So, I mean, I would at least try to do something creative because otherwise it's just who cares? So he comes back to the Royal Rumble. Everyone's going to expect that anyway. They're figuring something maybe with him or Undertaker or somebody else. So I don't know. That to me, they've not made the most out of him. So why not? There's never a bad time to try to start doing something with him and try to get the $5 million out of him because, again, it's not my money, I guess, so I don't care. But as a viewer, I was excited about Brock Lesnar coming in. I mean, what could they do with him? And it's just, they've turned this into this big wave of apathy.
Who do you think Brock Lesnar is going to face at WrestleMania this year?
I don't know. And everybody likes, you know, the Undertaker would be the one that makes the most sense. You know, Steve Austin, there's no way in hell he would get in the ring. I think with Brock Lesnar, why? If he's going to come back, why not do one with CM Punk? So I think the one with Undertaker makes the most sense because you can play something out of that. But remember when they had their face-off and Brock had lost? People forget that Brock had lost that fight, or they put it as a footnote when they talk about he and the Undertaker having a face-to-face conflict and they were going to do something there. If he doesn't wipe out Triple H and he doesn't make a stand at the Royal Rumble, then why do we want to see the Undertaker and Brock Lesnar fight? We know the Undertaker's an old man. We know the Triple H almost beat him up. Or did beat him up and needed help up after last year's WrestleMania. Why do we want to see him and Brock Lesnar? You know, Brock Lesnar's got to do something to make me want to see that. I mean, it's amazing that they I don't think people are spending $50 to watch Triple H and Brock Lesnar, even though that's how they're promoting it.
You know, we should mention this. This has nothing to do with... actually, this has a lot to do with what we just talked about, even though it is a UFC story. I know that sometimes people get upset. Why are you talking both? Well, they play into each other, and Brock Lesnar is a prime example. The Observer this week reported that the Brock Lesnar-Alistair Overeem pay-per-view from this past December, Brock Lesnar's last UFC fight, which at the time, the word was it did about 900,000 buys or so. I thought the show was going to do a million because I thought Brock Lesnar... awesome pay-per-view draw. Alistair Overeem is a cartoon character-looking dude. Giant, jacked-up guy. You know, this is a money fight here. As it turns out, 535,000 buys, which to me is about the most distressing UFC buy rate I've heard about in God knows how long. 535,000 buys for Brock Lesnar versus Alistair Overeem. I don't know... that's a lot of stories we could talk about right there. That's a lot of things to discuss, and a distressing number, really. I guess we'll find out what the final numbers are for the Chael Sonnen Anderson Silva fight. At the time, right now, it's still looking at about 900,000 buys. But hey, that's what this one looked like as well in December, and here we are 8 months later, and the real number's 535. The bloom is off the rose in a lot of ways. And that number really speaks a lot for Brock's drawing power after, quite frankly, he got destroyed a couple of times.
Well, and I've watched boxing and wrestling pay-per-view buy rates for a long, long time, and I'm not going to try to dismiss this by just saying, well, it's a market correction. But when you look overall at the economy and a lot of other things that come into play, yeah, Brock's power was hurt. And, you know, as I think hindsight being 2020, maybe there weren't as many people as excited about that show as, you know, people that had been following Overeem's career for a long period of time through Japan, through the body changes, through losing to Liddell in Pride, then all the way to what he looked like now. and Lesnar and his whole story and the whole nine yards, you know, it didn't resonate enough. And yes, there's other factors at play with the UFC and promotion and too many shows and, you know, all of the debates and things like that too. But yeah, obviously Lesnar was hurt by that because, again, you know, he was kind of a one-trick pony and, you know, nobody wanted to take him seriously in MMA. He comes in, you know, looks impressive with Mirror, you know, to the point he overwhelms him. Then he knocks Heath Herring ass over tea kettle and rolls him over in something that will now be in history on the UFC broadcast. But yeah, ultimately at the end of the day, you know, he can't take the greatest punch in the world. He, you know, the diverticulitis was doing him in, and he wasn't the same fighter and the same man in the octagon, at least when he came in. So yeah, those things did hurt him, and losing to Triple H after losing to John Cena hurts him in the wrestling aspect too. And the fact that they don't use Paul Heyman enough or in a better way boggles my mind too. Even if it's to make fun of him and him be the punchline at the end of the day, at least while he's speaking and doing his shtick, he's getting something across, and he's doing things with his face and reacting and things like that that are sorely missing on that program.
All right, let's look at some of the other big matches here on this show. And by the way, before we do, I just should ask one thing and one final question about that number. The show aired on a Friday, and you know, we've talked a lot about Impact and Raw and moving time slots and everything like that. I mean, if you had to actually give like a percentage, maybe a percentage is the wrong word, but you know, how much do you think that hurt the show?
I think it hurts. I don't know if it's... It shows more of your hardcore base. It just takes off a lot of people, the average your average sports fan guy or the one who would be going out and stuff like that. I mean, it does take them off, but I'm not sure how... I don't think it's 100,000 people.
That's still significant.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, because it makes the number look a lot better. But, you know, if it is 100,000, I mean, right there, again, it's still 635 then. If you look at that number, again, in hindsight, not as impressive as what we thought.
All right. So also on the card for the show tonight, we talked a little bit about the three-way with Cena and Punk and the Big Show. Where do you go in your prediction in terms of who wins tonight and how that plays into Royal Rumble and WrestleMania? Because Rock is getting the winner at the Royal Rumble.
Punk is so good and can be, you can do so much with him as far as being complex more than you can do with The Rock and with, I mean, there's just so many ways you could go with Punk, and he's so good. Why take the title off of him? You've been able to hype up the fact that he's had one of the longest reigns in a long time, and just his re-signing, when you look at all the mistakes they've made with him on TV, some of the things he's been able to accomplish in the character he is and how he came in and what they thought of him at first is incredibly impressive, and I think this is, it may be the old pro wrestling in me, but it actually makes me happy to think he could have a reign leading into the Royal Rumble, and fine, lose the belt to The Rock if that's the way it's going to be. I'm completely fine with that, but again, you can do the most with him and tie in Cena, tie in the fact when Rock's not there, because you can have Punk just do so much against so many different guys.
Let's look at the other big matches here on the show. Of course, as noted, the pay-per-view is taking place at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We are taking your calls on the show, some predictions here. And the last caller mentioned the pre-show match, Santino Marella and Antonio Cesaro. They are, in fact, fighting for the United States Championship, which is a title that when you win it, you become a complete jobber. That's kind of how it works. That and the Intercontinental title as well. And my argument for a while has been change the title on the pre-show. Because right now, nobody really watches the pre-show. It means nothing. I don't know if it'll ever mean anything, and I don't know if anybody is ever going to watch it. But if you change a title, even a title that nobody cares about at all, a jobber title, at least something has happened on your pre-show, and you might be able to draw some viewers to the YouTube channel next time, which actually is one of the top five YouTube channels in the world. So we're going to get Mike's thoughts on that match after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking the SummerSlam pay-per-view, which begins moments, literally seconds, after this show goes off the air. You can follow along at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer has live running play-by-play of the show the entire time. And I should note, later on this evening, Dave and I are going to be back with a brand new radio show. If you love these programs, you're missing out. If you're only listening to Wrestling Observer Live, we do daily radio shows up on our website. We had an hour-long plus show last night talking Strikeforce and all the news. And we're going to have another hour-long plus show tonight talking all the news from SummerSlam, backstage notes, all the matches, all the news, Raw tomorrow, and more. Sign up today. It's only $10.99 per month. That's it. And when you sign up, not only to get access to all of the radio shows that we do every single day at WrestlingObserver.com, but you get access to our full archive of shows. Every show we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is available in the archives right now. That's 7 years of SummerSlam recaps, if you really care. If you want to go back and get our thoughts on SummerSlam 2007, for example, hey, you can go there and do it. Plus interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It's all up there in the archives. Tens of thousands of hours of audio. And again, all of this is available for just $10.99 per month. All I will say is this before I wrap up this plug. I've had a few people, several people actually, that were big fans of Observer Live, and they heard that plug over and over, and they never did anything. And finally one day they thought, what the heck? I'm going to spend the $10.99, and I'm going to sign up and see what it's like. Those people are still with us today, and I cannot tell you how many emails I've gotten from people who said, my God, I'm so happy to have found your website. I love these shows! So check it out. It's only $10.99. You got nothing to lose except $10.99. And if you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But I think if you sign up one time and listen to all of the shows, you'll be a subscriber for a long time to come. And if you don't believe me, we have free shows up on the front page right now. Scroll down the right-hand side, click them, listen to them. That's exactly what you get as a subscriber. So if you like what you hear, sign up, and we will see you in the members area. Mike, Santino and Antonio Cesaro, your predictions, what should they do?
Antonio Cesaro should get the win, not only for the reason that you mentioned, which is you should change the title on the pre-show if you're going to alternate, you know, the IC, US, and tag title on that show, because none of them mean anything. I think Cesaro wins, and I think you actually see him in a good spot. I hope they unify these titles at WrestleMania. That would make me happy. And Cesaro in the mix against somebody, it just makes the most sense. If you're going to have again, being the foreigner and being the guy who can speak in multiple languages in the whole nine yards, he's at least got a shtick going no matter how they use him. So put the title on him and Santino can go back to, well, just be Santino.
All right, that is the pre-show. The Intercontinental title, the other jobber title, is also on the line. The Miz is facing Rey Mysterio, and this is an interesting match. Interesting in the sense that when I look up and down the card, I see a lot of potential heel wins. And it's always nice to have a babyface win. I actually think that Chris Jericho is going to beat Dolph Ziggler. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if you wanted, you could put the Intercontinental title on Rey Mysterio. It doesn't matter who has it. Unfortunately, it probably would lead to a losing streak for Rey, because it always does. But maybe not. Maybe they would push Rey for a while as the title holder. I know that they're kind of getting behind Sin Cara a little bit again. And Alberto Del Rio could conceivably win the title today. I doubt it, but it's possible. So maybe they've got a renewed push in mind for the Hispanic wrestlers on the roster, and Rey could get the title here, the title win. Miz has been on a long losing streak. Perhaps that is an indication that he's actually going to get a win here on the program. It is in L.A. What are your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I think Miz, even though they could beat him in L.A., and you could say it's like a hometown thing to beat him there, I think he actually he gets the win, and I see a lot of heels winning, but I actually see Jericho winning, and I don't know if they'll turn around the, you know, now Ziggler can't win the big one story, and then they could have him leading into cashing in Money in the Bank, where, you know, when he does win the big one, he does it right or something like that. But or destroying Jericho even after the match or on Monday night. But still, I see a lot of, like, heel stuff going on, and I don't see why you take the belt off Miz already. You just put it on him. You just had him lose in matches that made him look like a jobber. If not on SmackDown, definitely on Raw this past Monday. So I don't know. I just see no reason to take the belt off of him, and I still think they're probably going to lead to Mysterio and Sin Cara anyway, either teaming or against each other for WrestleMania. So I don't know. I see Miz coming out with the belt.
Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara are already teaming up, and I talked about this on, I believe, the Dr. Lucha show last week on our site. Obviously, this year, they wanted to do Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara at WrestleMania. One-on-one, actually, this past year. But they were both hurt. And kind of hard to do a match when you're both hurt. The whole plan was they were going to do a gimmick where they were going to try to set the world record for the most people wearing masks in the same place at the same time. So, I would expect they're going to try that again this year. And in your opinion, what would you do in terms of these two men's careers? Rey Mysterio is back. He gets injured. I mean, without fail, every few months he's going to get hurt. He's going to take time off, which means he's probably going to be employed forever, because every time he gets hurt, they stop his contract and add X number of days to it for the number of days he's been out. So it kind of could be like Hulk Hogan, where he's hurt so much that his contract extends longer than its original length. But anyway, he is inevitably at the tail end of his career. Sin Cara and Rey together have gotten great reactions every time they've teamed. What do you do, Mike? Do you keep them together and do the split at WrestleMania, leading potentially to the match at the WrestleMania the following year? Or do you feel there's absolutely no way WWE will ever do this or have the patience? So therefore, let's break them up at Royal Rumble and let's have them do the match at WrestleMania. Is that enough time?
Me, myself, yeah, if I had the time, I would wait, you know, for another cycle of WrestleMania before doing this and make it a year-long thing. But the way they do things, I'd take the mask off Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Because if you're going to go hard with Sin Cara, if you're really going to pass the torch, if you're really going to do, and you could do it as a matter of respect, if you don't want to have one of them turn heel, which I would rather you not, because, you know, it's going to be hard to boo Mysterio, and you're going to need Sin Cara to be the face if you're going to pass a torch. So I don't know how you would do it, but taking the mask off Mysterio, it's already been off of him before. You no longer have to black out the videos from WCW in the past. He will still sell masks. He's still got a baby face, so kids and everything else, people will not be scared of this man when they take his mask off, as could be the case with many a luchador from the past. So, you know, it's no big deal, I think, if you do that, and that would be the strongest way. If you're going to do anything with Sin Cara, if you're going to make him going back to being a superpower when you tour Mexico again, that would be the way to do it. Now, will they? I don't know. Would I do it? Absolutely, because if for no other reason, I'm trying to make money off merchandise and kids and things like that. My son still gravitates towards Sin Cara, Kofi Kingston, guys like that. Do everything you can. You invested a lot in this guy. Why waste it? You might as well try to do what you can with him. And to me, at the end of the day, it doesn't kill Mysterio. And the less he wrestles, and maybe the more you can get out of him, and if this reinvigorates him or something like that, or the character, it won't be that bad either. But he's banged up all the time. He's always hurt. He's obviously got some strikes against him as it is. I think this could be something that could work.
I think it's a great storyline of team together. Sin Cara is upset that Rey, the veteran, is such a big babyface, and he turns on him. You got to remember, Sin Cara, before he was Sin Cara, when he was the biggest draw in Mexico in the mid-00s, how do you say that, by the way? The mid-2000s? Anyway, when he was, he did have a heel run, and he was an awesome heel. Obviously nowhere near the draw as a heel that he was as a babyface. That should be obvious, but...
Well, that's the thing. As the orphan kid who bows to Jesus and helps as the, you know, the supporter of the poor and all of this stuff, yeah, that worked far better than him as the heel, even though, yeah, he's shown that way, but why would you do that if you're trying to pass a torch?
But the point was, his brief run as a heel, he was a great heel. Now, will he work that kind of style, be that kind of heel, get that kind of credibility in WWE as a heel? Absolutely not. They don't understand how to push a small heel unless he's spectacular, like Daniel Bryan. But I think a heel Sin Cara against a babyface Rey Mysterio, especially if you do go the direction of a mask match, that's a big match. That is a big match. And it kind of begs the question, well, I guess it doesn't really matter. But to me, I don't even really know. We've discussed this before with Brock Lesnar, actually. If you got a big match like Sin Cara and Rey, mask versus mask, I mean, there's kind of that argument that why put it on WrestleMania, which is already going to do 1.1 million buys? Why not maybe put that on a big show elsewhere? Put it on the June pay-per-view if you go to a Hispanic market or something like that and try and boost those numbers. I mean, I don't know if it matters. It's an interesting question, though.
Well, you know, it actually, it's a very good one because it's like, you know, talking about Triple H and Shawn Michaels earlier. I mean, are you going to make WrestleMania into a two-day festival thing with, you know, massive main events? Because if you put that on WrestleMania as it stands now, still figuring you might have Austin and Punk and, you know, lots of other guys on there, it's like, well, you know, with your regular roster, with all these guest stars that you bring in, I mean, are you even going to need them there that weekend? You think JTG was upset last time around? I mean, how pissed will he be when, like, you might have a champion or two on there and those are the only spots available and left?
Running low on time in this particular hour. We still have more to talk about. You mentioned the Chris Jericho match, and I also expect Chris Jericho to beat Dolph Ziggler tonight. I know that some people find the reasoning preposterous, but listen, this babyface Jericho, the storyline is he can't win the big one. And he is leaving, yes, but I don't think he's leaving yet. And to me, the babyface makes a promise to win a match against a dastardly heel. He's gonna win. And it has nothing to do with the fans hating the babyface if he doesn't succeed. It's all about, you got to believe in your baby faces. You got to let your fans believe that when the baby face promises something, he's going to deliver. I know it's old school thinking, but if you look back at WWE, most notably John Cena, John Cena does not promise he's going to win a match and then not win because they want to keep credibility with their top baby face. And I think that with Chris Jericho, yes, you should put Dolph Ziggler over Chris Jericho, but I think Jericho is back on Raw, and if you're going to have Dolph Ziggler beat Chris Jericho in the middle of the ring, there are going to be significantly more people. Probably five times the number of viewers are going to watch Raw than watch SummerSlam. Yes, I know SummerSlam's only going to do about 200,000 buys, but maybe 250, but you're going to have a lot of people congregating together to see that show. But you're still not going to do more than a million people watching SummerSlam. You can have 5 million people on Raw. You give Jericho the win on SummerSlam. He made his promise. He delivered on it on the show if you paid your money. And then on Raw the next night, Dolph Ziggler beats him and sends him packing. That is how I'd put that match together.
Absolutely. Jericho's a pro and knows how to do that anyway. So yeah, you know, babyface gets the win, he goes out, tries to say goodbye tomorrow, gets laid out by Ziggler, bye-bye, he goes to Fozzie Land, and there you go. And you know, again, they've screwed
or,
this thing a whole...
Don't just lay him out. Have him win tonight, well, and if Dolph Ziggler wins the title, have him challenge for the belt tomorrow. It makes perfect sense, and Ziggler can beat him.
I'd be fine with that, too. But, yeah, Dolph Ziggler, let's see what happens.
All right, we'll talk about this one more after the break as well. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live, my friends. Sirius Satellite Radio. Back in a moment. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. I was doing my sign-off in the last segment, and Mike began to cackle, and he threw me off my game.
Sorry about that.
I thought I was a professional, but every now and then I'm brought back to earth. It is Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. We're talking about SummerSlam here. It's starting in an hour, so call your cable provider. And very quickly here, we're going to take a call and get this person's prediction on the top matches at SummerSlam. We got about a minute, caller. What's your predictions?
Hi, I'm Eric from St. Cloud, Minnesota. My prediction is John Cena winning the WWE title tonight and retaining it until the Royal Rumble loser to The Rock.
That is an interesting prediction there. I want to thank you very much for that call. We've got to head to a break here in just a moment. But I want to say very quickly, Mike, that that has been discussed within WWE of putting the title on John Cena. And John Cena actually defends against The Rock at Royal Rumble. And then Rock wins the title and defends the title against CM Punk at WrestleMania. That would certainly be a twist. And one could argue that Rock defending the title at WrestleMania is going to be gigantic, and you don't necessarily need him wrestling John Cena because he's already fighting for the title or fighting and defending the title. So you could boost Royal Rumble up significantly by putting Rock versus Cena on that show, and then you've got two giant main events.
That would not hurt my feelings at all. I would love that, actually. You know, and again, it frees up Austin to do something else, if anything at all, because God knows you actually don't need him for this WrestleMania with everything that could be loaded onto it in the market it's in. And, you know, The Rock, to me, he'd have to win at WrestleMania, but, you know, him and Madison Square Garden, or not in Madison Square Garden, obviously, too big for that now, but him at the Meadowlands or whatever they call it now, I think that would actually be awesome.
All right, everybody, believe it or not, we're an hour into the show. We have not finished our predictions for SummerSlam, so we're going to head to our hourly break. In about 7 minutes, we're going to return. We're going to continue running down the second biggest show, maybe third biggest WWE show of the year. That's how it's billed. And then get into some news. Back in a moment, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by the great Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour previewing the SummerSlam pay-per-view, WWE's big event, their big pay-per-view event of the summer, which airs 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. Dave Meltzer doing live running play-by-play of the event. And then Dave and I up later, exclusively on WrestlingObserver.com. Brand new radio show talking all the matches, all the results, and more. Mike and I have been running down the card in the first hour. We're not done yet. Still talking all the matches and taking your phone calls with predictions as well. If you'd like to call into this program, I always put up the information on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Follow me on Twitter, get the tweets coming to your phone, and you'll always know when the phone lines are open, what the phone numbers are, and all the details about how to call. Follow me, at Brian Alvarez. I will not bombard you with tweets. I tweet very sparingly, unless, for example, I'm at a live event or something like that. But you can follow me there for more information on that. And Mike, we were talking a number of different topics, and I believe I cut you off in our discussion on Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho and the finish for tomorrow. I believe I did. Maybe I didn't.
No, you know what? You didn't. It doesn't really matter. But you know what I was thinking, though? You know, as we talk about the SummerSlam, even though we're running down this car that cannot be contained in only 1 hour, we're going into the second hour of predictions for this show. I remember sitting there in the summer, I think it was in late July, because I had family up in New Jersey, so we'd go up there and visit with them, and they get the stations out of New York, and I would watch WWE TV or WWF TV, and they were hyping up SummerSlam and everything leading into it, and it's like, this is the 20th anniversary of this show, and they're making a big deal out of it, and the fact that in L.A. proper, with having an access and a fan fest and things like that, but it's amazing with having a network they want to start and everything at its disposal and the fact that 24/7 doesn't get big numbers and they like more people to be drawn to it. They're not hyping up the fact at all that this was the 20th anniversary. No Honky Tonk Man getting beaten 30 seconds. No Elizabeth tearing off her tights. No, you know, Jacques Rougeau against Dynamite Kid.
Hold that thought, Mike. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by
Jake the Snake Roberts and Hercules. And I love Jake Snake Roberts. And you know, it's not like I really wanted
Mike
to
actually has
SummerSlam.
Been he's been rattling off the entire card for the original SummerSlam.
I saw Don Morocco then. Don Morocco was
entire time.
Huge.
The entire commercial break he's
huge.
Been ranting.
And Bad News Brown was there. And I was always a big fan of Bad News Brown. And it's kind of funny today, you know, with Ronda Rousey. Imagine if they could have somebody with Ronda
Mike,
Rousey.
Mike!
Yes. Yeah, what?
Mike!
Yes.
We went through a whole commercial break. You were still ranting.
I missed it. Why are they not hyping up the old SummerSlams? I want to see Honky.
You know what? Maybe Honky will be there. I can't tell you he won't be there.
I hope he's there.
Let's go to the phones here. You are on Wrestling Observer Live on an exciting program here this afternoon. What are your SummerSlam predictions, my friend?
Yeah, I think Brock and Triple H is going to end due to a run-in from Howard Stern's team at Baba Booey.
Oh, really? Baba Booey is going to run in during the Brock Lesnar versus Triple H match, huh?
Yeah, Howard Stern's team at Baba Booey.
And that's a nice try. All right. He tried his best. He tried his best right there.
I think that was a perfect follow-up to how we began this segment.
It may have been. It may have been. You know, I can actually install a dump button on all this equipment right here, but what fun would that be? All right, let's get back to the predictions here. You were ranting about the match involving the Honky Tonk Man, is that correct?
No, it's just, you know, just the fact that they're not, they have this network that they want to push, and they're you know, and it's been a complete mess. They have 24/7. They try to do a lot with, you know, selling products and nostalgia and all that sort of stuff. You have the perfect opportunity. It is the 20th anniversary, and they make a big deal out of WrestleMania anniversaries, and why not just have something else to try to make yourself money and to try to make a big deal out of this stuff? I mean, they had that Legends House thing that I don't think anyone ever saw. But again, you have the Honky Tonk Man at your disposal. You have a couple of these guys who, you know, Bret Hart and some of the things that you could show on video and leading into this big mega event that you're going to have. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do it.
Now, coming back into 2012, also on the show tonight, Kane and Daniel Bryan. Now, in an update from a couple of days ago when we were speculating about what's going on here, it does appear at this moment that Charlie Sheen will not be at SummerSlam at all. So all of that talk about him being there and all of the constant references to anger management, apparently he's not going to be on the show, which is funny because I believe they're going to continue the storyline between these two men and continue both of their battles with anger management. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening with Charlie Sheen and WWE, but it looks like all of the talk about shooting a big angle and him being there, that whole thing is off the show.
Well, they got, what, DJ Pauly D is on instead.
They do have DJ Pauly D.
And he doesn't even get a chance to push the new Rehab Vodkas that he has because they're a PG show.
Well, maybe they've got a non-alcoholic version.
Of vodka?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if the Bolsheviks, you know, being Russian, drank that at that 1988 SummerSlam when they faced the Powers of Pain.
The non-alcoholic versions?
Possibly. I wonder if the Baron had that in his hood.
Who do you think is going to win this match, Mike?
Which one?
The Bolsheviks! No, Daniel Bryan and Kane.
I think Kane wins just also because, again, I see a lot of heel victories on this, which is one of the reasons even though I would put the belts on Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, it's one of the reasons I don't think that they actually will, is because I think in your major matches you're going to have these, you know, again, Jericho's going to be the biggest face winner out of everybody on this show, so I can see, you know, Kane getting the win here.
Have you been drinking, by the way?
I have not. Just, I think I'm going to start, though, very soon.
Just out of curiosity.
Level back out again.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. We're doing SummerSlam predictions here on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Patrick Michael from Rochester, New York.
Patrick, what is happening?
Not too much. I'm just getting ready for the Summerfest here tonight.
That's right, Summerfest.
Summer, Jeremy Piven, greatest Raw GM ever.
He was up there. Before we go any further, did you watch Impact and see the return of Tiffany?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I am so happy she is back. I, you and Vinny playing those clips of her brought me back to 2009. It was great.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, see, I'm not the only one. I always miss Tiffany, and you always made fun of me for this.
Did either of you see the TNA post show where she actually did a long interview with SoCal Val?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God!
I did.
Yeah, this quickly became the wrong kind of heat. It was infuriating. But that's another matter entirely. Caller, let's get your SummerSlam predictions.
Let's see. I'm hoping, for the sake of the business, I hope they put Brock Lesnar over big. I don't see it happening. The egos are just too much, and for some reason, Vince and Triple H, they got this thing that we're going to prove that WWE guys are better than UFC guys, which I don't think is in anybody's mind to begin with. But that's, I think, the reasoning is behind the Lesnar stuff. But I think they ought to just pair up CM Punk with Heyman somehow tonight, so that you can have Lesnar off the show for several months, so you don't eat through all his appearances, but you're still keeping him and Heyman, you know, on the air in some fashion or regard, so people don't forget him.
That is an interesting. I know that Paul actually yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was CM Punk's, one of the individuals involved wrote a big deal about, I think it was Paul actually, he was talking about how, I know there are a lot of rumors about me and Punk, but Punk doesn't need a mouthpiece, Punk doesn't need somebody to talk for him, Punk is just fine on his own. I don't know if we should read anything into that. I kind of suspect that since he wrote that, there actually are no plans of teaming those two guys together, but it's always possible, and if Brock's going to be gone until Royal Rumble, Paul is a great TV character, so he should, to me, be aligned with somebody.
Yeah, I said, what's sad to me now with SummerSlam now, I mean, I was just thinking about it, because my son's 7 months old, and I was thinking back like in 89 with...
So was Mike, actually. Mike was just romancing about the original SummerSlams, but go ahead.
Yeah, 89. I mean, I just remember it being a little kid being so worried about, you know, like Bruce Beefcake was the weak link on the team against, you know, Zeus, Macho Man. Like, I was like, there's no way in the world they can win because, like, he's so much weaker than Hogan. But, like, I don't care about the pay-per-views. I am not going to watch them. I'm just going to follow it on the internet, your guys, you know, Days Live play-by-play. And it's, like, I feel bad. It's like my 7-month-old, he'll never, ever get to feel that excitement because he poorly promote the show. So awful.
Yeah.
It's just another pay-per-view now, and it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, I know that Mike's got a child that's a little bit older than yours, and he noted earlier in the show that his son is a big fan of, among people, Kofi Kingston. And I don't have a child, but I often wonder if, like, you know, we're older, we see things differently, we're a lot more jaded. But I do kind of wonder sometimes if, like, there are little 6-7-year-old kids today that are like, oh, my God, John Cena, what if the Big Show pinned CM Punk or blah, blah, blah. I wonder if they actually have that excitement that we had when we were kids, and we just can't see it anymore because we're old and jaded.
It doesn't mean this, Mike. Does your son ever talk about stuff like that? Because I go to live wrestling shows. I referee on the independent scene, and I don't hear kids ever talking like that.
That's well, my son is, you know, only 4 now, so it's still kind of like all a big, you know, surprise to him and big, you know, cartoon to him because, he, you know, he sees CM Punk being a good guy and then, you know, he sees him hit John Cena. It's, you know, Dada, why'd he hit John Cena? Yeah, and still, he likes, and again, I think it's, people make fun, and I know Les Thatcher, you know, talks about Kofi Kingston. It's just like that he comes out and, you know, he smacks his hands and he goes boom, boom, boom. Well, my son actually does the same exact thing. And again, it doesn't mean Kofi Kingston's character has to be a cartoon, which in for the most part it is, but that's the WWE way. But that's what, I mean, they're selling merchandise. They're going to have a cartoon coming on. Not only are they going to have a show on, I think, what is it, PAX or whatever show that they're going to have, they're also adding a one-hour show Saturday morning, like kind of going back in the day to that. They have a bunch of their magazine stuff that's turned more towards little kids, so there is a place for all that sort of stuff.
Patrick, mm-hmm. It's Patrick, right?
Yes,
I'm gonna have to let you go. We're heading up to a break, but I want to thank you very much for the call. Excellent call here today, and we'll talk more about this after the break. There is, in fact, a Kofi Kingston match here on this show. He's defending his title against primetime players. We'll review that when we get back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We have spent well over an hour talking the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view, which takes place moments after the show goes off the air. 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on pay-per-view, followed later this evening by myself and Dave Meltzer doing a radio show, running down all of the matches, all of the angles, everything that took place, only at WrestlingObserver.com. For the moment, myself and Mike Sempervivi here talking all of the news. We have previewed the entire show with the exception of one match. That is the tag team title match, R-Truth and Kofi Kingston against the Primetime Players in a tag team title match. Are the Primetime Players leaving with the championship tonight, Mike?
Yeah, they should be, but they won't be, actually. The way this whole thing has gone down, I think just because of the way the card is structured, I think Kofi and Truth get the win. But the Primetime Players, I do actually like. It's too bad that AW is not there, too, but I think they'll be fine without him just because Darren Young is Darren Young.
My apologies, everybody. We actually have two matches we did not speak of, the other being a rather significant match, the World Heavyweight Championship match. Alberto Del Rio, after a stunning storyline in which he was taken out of the match and then a week later just put back in, he will be facing Alberto Del Rio. I'm sorry, Sheamus will be facing Alberto Del Rio. I'll get this right at some point. World Heavyweight title is on the line, and Mike, do you expect a title change here tonight?
Why get it right? They haven't. I mean, look what Alberto Del Rio has gone through in 18 months of being there or whatever it is with his quest for this title. And to be real honest, I still wouldn't take the belt off of Sheamus. I think I don't want to say you have to. You have two long-reigning champions now, and Sheamus has held the belt for what has been quite a long time. And if you're going to do something with Del Rio, you know, it was like people were saying that with Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus last month, too, where it's like, well, if you're going to do something, now's the time. The way this whole storyline has gone, Del Rio would have to come out of this with a hard-hitting match, and he's got to come out of it better than he was going into it. But frankly, with how the storyline's gone, I wouldn't actually take the belt off of Sheamus, but they probably do just because it's going to be about time. And again, I think Punk's the only one who's, you know, going to have the super long reign here.
Now, the show, as noted, is about to air. The YouTube match actually will be airing pretty much at any time with Santino Marella and Antonio Cesaro. So make sure you check that out from pay-per-view. We're taking final calls on the show predictions. So let's take one right now. You're on the air. Predictions for SummerSlam. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jared calling from Orange, Connecticut.
Jared, what's up?
Not much. I'm not sure about a prediction per se, but I would like to just give some brief thoughts on Brock Lesnar and Triple H. I'm not going to give a prediction, but in my opinion, I think that Brock pretty much has to go over. And that's pretty much like the only right decision in my book.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. I mean, I personally thought that Brock Lesnar had to go over in the match with John Cena, and he didn't.
Absolutely.
I still look at it from the perspective of Brock Lesnar is the bad guy, and he broke Hunter's arm, and he insulted his wife and children, and now he broke his best friend's arm, and I can't remember a single Triple H feud ever where all these bad things happened to Triple H, and then he still lost. That's the main reason I'm predicting that in the end, he's going to win with his move right in the middle of the ring. If this were going to be like a feud, you know, if they were coming back in September or November or something like that, Survivor Series, then I would go, yeah, you know, maybe Triple H gets the win there and Brock wins tonight. But I think this is a one-off match, and based on how they put it together, I expect Triple H to just win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's a weird situation because, like you said, based on the way the angle has been laid out, it's like basic pro wrestling sense tells you that Triple H should and will go over. But when you have Brock, you know, he's brought in for a limited number of dates, you know, a select number of big money matches like this one right here. I just don't see how you can continuously keep jobbing him out and expect him to still be that draw, especially, you know, him losing his first match back was a huge mistake. And now it's like if he goes 0-for-2 in the two big matches, I don't see how they can expect the interest level to be as high as it possibly could be if they're going to do a big match with him like versus Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, but the mindset that you and I and Mike and probably almost everybody listening to this has and the mindset that they have is actually different. I mean, they are looking at it like, we're giving this guy $5 million, Pardon me, I'm going to sneeze here. We're giving this guy $5 million to come in and put over our guys. And that's their mindset. So if that's their mindset, then, you know, it's your $5 million. It's not mine. So I think the big question for WrestleMania will be, do they think, in order for Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, for example, to draw, do they think that he needs to win all of his matches to make that match work? Or do they think that they can beat Brock Lesnar every time and people will still pay all their money to see those guys have a match? That's the question, and I guess we'll find out tonight.
And the thing you run into with that is, because if you build Brock up, you know, by having him beat, you know, two, three guys in big money matches, then when you finally do, you know, like a match with a guy like Undertaker, then it means something because it's like, who can stop Brock Lesnar? And now it's just kind of like, well, everybody beats for Brock Lesnar.
I agree with you 1,000%. I want to thank you very much for the call, Jared. And Mike, your thoughts on all of this?
No, I mean, I agree as well. It's just, you know, again, if you're going to maximize Lesnar, to me, that would be the way you do it. Although, yeah, if I was on their side and in their clique and in their camp, I would agree with what they're saying with, you know, you're paying a guy to do a job, to do high-profile jobs, basically, what it is. But I think you are, to me, you're not maximizing it, and I don't think it's resonating as well with the viewers at home.
Do you expect, if you were putting the show together, that we're going to see Undertaker and Brock at WrestleMania? Or I suppose if you had a Brock Lesnar dream match for WrestleMania, what would that match be?
To me, that's the one it would have to actually be, unless, you know, I don't know. If Wade Barrett, who doesn't seem to be coming back a face, I mean, you could have Wade Barrett beat up Brock Lesnar or try to go that direction at WrestleMania. I mean, but outside of that, I don't know what you do with Undertaker if you're going to have him wrestle again, which I assume that you will. You either do Brock Undertaker, you do Wade Barrett Undertaker, which I don't know if they're going to. They could do that if they got enough steam behind Barrett, but they're probably not going to, so why go ahead and do that one then? Because it won't really make any difference for The Undertaker. So I don't know. To me, if you're going to have Brock on there, it's got to be Undertaker, or I don't know who else it could be.
That is SummerSlam, everybody. It is coming up here in just a moment, but we still have plenty of time left on this program, so it is time to switch gears here and talk about what actually is a great pro wrestling style storyline, that being the women's division in Strikeforce. You've got a champion who has a finisher, and she beats all of her opponents with that finisher. And the last opponent she beat, who tried so hard not to lose to the finisher and got her arm mangled, she had a fight last night and ended up beating her opponent with the same armbar, which led to the main event where the champion, this being Ronda Rousey, faced Sarah Kaufman in a match where the question was, can Sarah Kaufman beat her standing? And if it goes to the ground, can she avoid the armbar? She has trained repeatedly to avoid the armbar, and in the end, she still got armbarred in 54 seconds. Ronda Rousey, still the champion. A great night of women's MMA action. And there were some guy fights as well.
And an appearance by Judo Jean LaBelle with the stopwatch, which of course always makes my night. But that was a really good show for Showtime. And, you know, for those who saw it on Showtime Extreme, the Miesha Tate fight with Julie Kedzie, that really, it surprised the hell out of me that was not on the main show. And it really should have been in hindsight. But really, I mean, the Saffredine fight would have been the one you were replaced with it. And in hindsight, I guess I kind of wish they would have. But everything on the main show was very good as well. And it does make you want to see Miesha Tate against the winner of Cyborg and Rousey. It does. And for everybody that hates Miesha Tate, again, it works to her advantage too.
Let's talk about the Ronda Rousey fight and the potential of a Chris Cyborg fight. She's challenged Cyborg. She challenged her to drop down to 135. Cyborg has been fighting at 145. As we did discover last night, there is still a 145-pound division in Strikeforce. It just has no champion. And the money fight, obviously, is Rousey versus Cyborg. And apparently, Cyborg is willing to fight Ronda Rousey in a parking lot, but she is not willing to drop down to 135. Do you think in the end, Mike, this fight is going to happen at that weight?
No. It'll probably be 140 or something like that. If I'm Rousey, I stick to my guns, though, because it's one of the only fights Strikeforce can make, and, you know, all the pressure on Cyborg, whether it works on her or not, as far as, you know what, you tested positive, you kind of owe us one here. Again, it's in hindsight, it's amazing how Gina Carano was able to stand in there with Cyborg. In hindsight, with everything that's gone on with Cyborg since, but yeah, it's the fight everybody's looking forward to. So I think you have to make it. And again, those two obviously want to beat the crap out of each other. They're talking about it so much. It's going to be hard for them to try to back out of it or get out of it. So we're definitely going to see that fight.
I thought it was funny that Cyborg, she basically disrupted the weigh-ins, trying to call attention to herself and causing trouble, that sort of thing. And then she didn't want to drop to 135. It's kind of like, so what was the point? You know, you're expecting Rousey to move up to fight you when she's the champion? Maybe she does. I don't know. But it just seems funny that you're willing to go out of your way to bust up something, and then you aren't willing to fight when push comes to shove.
Well, I guess from Cyborg's point of view, though, you go, well, you know, I was here longer. I'm still the king of this division, you know, no matter what you say.
The king? You said it, Mike, not me. If she finds you, if she gets her hands on you, Mike...
I'll hide behind Ronda Rousey, no problem. I mean, she's the one who said last night it'll be the first fair fight of Cyborg's entire career.
I'm going to be there with a stopwatch when it's you and Cyborg.
It won't last long.
I'm going to be Judo B. LaBelle. It's my rap name. All right, everybody, we actually have to break. We'll be back in just a moment talking more about that show, women's MMA, and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also at WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 20 minutes. Pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, all that fun stuff. And we were talking the SummerSlam pay-per-view for about an hour and a half. And now we're talking last night's Strikeforce show, Rousey versus Kaufman. Mike, how do you think that show did in terms of a rating? Because the feeling is not as well as maybe it could have.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not sure what was going on last night TV-wise. I know, you know, there was a lot of regional football taking place for the second week of preseason games, and you know the Premier League started and things like that, but that shouldn't have interfered with anything as far as any UK viewers or anything like that. But no, it probably didn't do great. But again, I don't know. It's Showtime, and they have a lot of good stuff on Showtime, and fight fans are subscribers to Showtime for the amount of boxing and MMA that they show, and obviously Strikeforce, but I don't think it's a push the panic button sort of thing if this fight does not do well. I think it does okay, but again, I don't think it's that all that big of a deal or a show on anything if in case it doesn't. Again, it's summertime, you know, people are getting in vacations before kids go back to school in August and the whole nine yards, so... I wouldn't be ringing any panic alarms if it doesn't do, you know, spectacularly. I mean, the things only do around, what, 1.9 anyway?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. I don't know. It's weird because, like, it seems like there was a lot less interest in the fight, but at the same time, when I look at Ronda all over the place, the Body magazine, Conan O'Brien, they did a million press interviews. She was interviewed all over the place. It kind of, this is one where I wonder, am I in a reverse bubble? Am I in the MMA bubble and Ronda Rousey is in the rest of the world bubble and the show's actually going to do surprisingly well?
Ah, but here's the thing. Immediately after the fight was over, on Twitter, they sent out links and you could go to show.com right now and watch the fight in its entirety. They replayed that entire thing. You know, Misha Tate, they only showed little clips of with her and Julie Kedzie. With everything else, they've only shown little clips of. They put that out there so you could see the entire fight. So, again, maybe they don't think it's going to do all that great of a number, or they just decided, you know what, people have a chance to see it anyway. Let's get it out there to ride on the coattails and the popularity that Ronda Rousey actually has.
What do you think of their decision to put the Misha Tate fight on the show Extreme main event?
You know,
Why do I even ask? I mean, is there anybody in the world except for the Showtime people that thought, hey, great idea?
No, yeah, and I understand the concept from their point of view, even though it was absolutely moronic to do so.
What was their idea? Because I don't understand.
I mean, I understand it, but it didn't mean it was the right decision for them to do that.
I don't even understand it. That's why I'm asking you. What was their mindset? I cannot for the life of me fathom this.
They are hyping Showtime Extreme as the place you go see undercards of boxing and undercards of MMA shows. They want to make it a big deal. Showtime Extreme, still I will not fall over shocked if in the digital cable universe as they continue to expand, that does not just become Showtime Sports. They replayed the fight this morning on Showtime. I'm not sure if they're showing it on Showtime 2 or not, but then on Showtime Extreme, they're the ones who are going to have the replays of this fight. So I do understand from a pure TV point of view what they were doing, but it was a stupid decision because they deserved that. I mean, Misha Tate and Julie Kedzie, you're right. I can't fathom why they would not want to have that fight on the main card. And how it turned out, yes, the main card was good, no complaints with it whatsoever, but what could it have been if that fight was on there?
I watched a... What was that fight that I watched on the main card? I can't even remember. But I was sitting there watching it going, why am I watching this fight and not the Misha Tate fight? It's just mind-boggling to me. Misha Tate and Julie Kedzie had an awesome battle. Julie Kedzie beat the crap out of her in round one. Misha won round two. And then they had a wild battle in round three. And Misha, as noted earlier, got her in the arm bar. This was all fine and dandy until they talked to Misha afterwards. And essentially they said, do you feel like you deserve a rematch against Ronda Rousey now? And keep in mind that if you do Rousey versus Cyborg, you can't do that until next year anyway because Cyborg is still on suspension. But knowing that, Misha Tate, when asked, said, I don't think I deserve it yet.
Well, that was foolish.
Why would you do that? What in God's name is wrong with people?
Other things.
Why are people so stupid?
I don't know.
I mean, that is stupid. That is a stupid answer.
Wrong time to be humble for her.
As what?
Wrong time to be humble for her right there.
Forget humble. That's just a stupid answer.
Well, it is. I will say this, though. I'll say this. I tweeted this to Mike Sawyer a couple days ago when he put up the odds for the fight. Julie Kedzie was plus 300. And it's like, you know, if you have an extra $200 laying around, it wouldn't be all that bad of a decision. This was a big fight for Misha Tate coming back in the way that she lost, and obviously the storyline played out beautifully, as you talked about earlier on. But you know, there was a lot of mental. For as much as she talks and what her persona is in the whole nine yards, there was a lot on her going into this fight, and maybe all the emotion got her afterwards. But she was doing a great job hyping herself up there for a while, except for that little misstatement.
I don't know why anybody would ever say something like that. I mean, are you saying it for the nobility of having your Twitter followers go, oh, that was so humble of you. That's so great. Your Twitter followers are not paying your rent. When you're asked, when you have a big win via armbar in the main event of the Showtime Extreme portion of the program, and granted, I know Showtime Extreme, I know it was stupid to air on that particular channel, but you were the main event. So when you win that main event, and Ronda Rousey wins her main event, and you guys had an awesome fight last time, and you both just won via armbar, and you know you can't have a Ronda Rousey Cyborg fight the rest of the year, and they ask you, are you ready for this shot? Why do you say no?
I have no answer outside of the fact a lot of them do, and again, we don't expect them to be PR, you know, scientists and rocket scientists and be that quick on their feet. They did just have long, tough fights, so sometimes it's unfair. But when you're expected out of somebody like Misha Tate and she doesn't do it, yeah, it's, again, I think she misspoke right there. And again, why they do that, I don't know. Why teammates don't fight each other, I don't know. There's a lot of this sort of stuff that, again, some, you know, neuroses and things like that that just fighters need to get out of.
I'm sweating. Any other thoughts on last night's Strikeforce show?
I don't think so. OSP is still OSP. And again, you know, it's kind of funny, though. Jacare Souza is a guy that, in theory, is a, we'll call him a Strikeforce star. But again, who would you have rather watched last night, Misha Tate or him? I'd rather see OSP than Jacare Souza.
Really? I'm a fan of Jacare.
He kind of excites me more than Jacare. And again, nothing against him. And he got the great knockouts. And again, the knockouts that happened last night were not because of great form or technique or anything like that. It was dudes with counters and walking into punches. But it does make for exciting times. You know, you always want to have one, you know, a couple of those. So again, I can't complain about the card or anything like that, but still, Misha Tate, not on the main card, and these other guys are, and it's just, again, UFC makes, you know, mistakes with women's fighters. Showtime makes mistakes with women's fighters.
What about
not
Nate?
Not that hard, people.
Nate Marquardt versus Tariq Saffiedine.
There you go. I would rather see make nice with Marlos Conan again, please, somehow. You know, bring her back. There's tons of women fighters I would rather see over a lot of these guys.
Hey, no, by the way,
which is no offense to the dudes.
Speaking of, I haven't seen it yet, but you watched the main event of the Shine show last night. Speaking of women battling, this was a pro wrestling pay-per-view, but we might as well mention it because there was a lot of controversy. The main event not only didn't have a finish, this is the main event. Not only didn't have a finish, but it was thrown out before it even basically started. And there were some people very upset about this. Some people thought it was actually really cool. Where do you fall and what happened?
You gotta look at it as they're a promotion that's running on iPay-per-view. They're essentially Shimmer, except you're not buying the DVDs, you know, when they come out. You're buying it on iPay-per-view. So, yes, it's a little disappointing in that if you spent $10 or you spent $15 to have the continuous video on demand thing, okay, maybe it's a little bit disappointing that you didn't get a finish and you got such a, you know, a wild battle, but I think that was the kind of the cool thing. Jazz and Mercedes Martinez were having this feud from the first Shine show, and they went out there and they were going to have a fight, and they didn't get in there and put on a headlock or anything. They went in and started beating the crap out of each other. The bell never started. They went out into the crowd. They started to brawl. They went into the back. They went all over the place. They put down two referees. And when the bell rang and you realized it was a no contest, it was like, oh, man. And for a second, it's like, well, you know, you're buying an iPay-per-view, but you can't think of it that way. You're buying a series. Almost like, you know, the TNA shows when they started. This is what they have to do. So there's going to be a continuation of this storyline on the next show a couple of months from now that happens to be on iPay-per-view. So I do understand a little of the frustration, but it's just this is how they're running their TV show, basically. So I think when you look at it with that perspective, they delivered. And again, even though I had a little twinge of disappointment when it ended up being a no contest, they carried the ball incredibly well where – yeah, I kind of do want to see where they go, and $10 for what they gave us, or what they gave me, in my opinion, I think was well worth it.
Mike, if I would never put a gun to your head, but if...
Yeah, you would.
If I did, do you think that Triple H and Brock Lesnar today is going to start with a lock-up?
No, it'll start with a Brock Lesnar actual amateur takedown. I think he goes over the top, spins around, smacks Triple H on the head a couple times, and then the fisticuffs begin.
I don't expect a ride, actually.
I want an inset shot of Paul Heyman the entire match. This is what I wish they were doing. Like, you know, they have ISO cameras in sports now, and they feature one guy, and you can watch it online. I just want a shot. I want a camera following around Paul Heyman at ringside the entire time.
That's not a bad idea.
His facial expressions.
That's not a bad idea right there. It's not a bad idea.
He's got bigger waist than Lesnar. At least you can say with Lesnar, he had date issues, and I don't think Heyman's contract's that way, so it's like, you know, what's the excuse?
If they open up with a lockup, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might not be able to contain myself. Luckily, I will have eaten so much food and downed so much ice cream that I could conceivably be deep into a food coma and won't care at all. But I'm guessing that by the time 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific rolls around, I'm going to be fixing to explode if they start with a lockup.
See, that is the great part, by the way, of the official National Empire Super China Buffet Day, is it always ends with ice cream.
That's right. What if Triple H shot a double leg and took him down at the beginning of the match?
I would cry after watching the Olympics and after seeing Brock Lesnar in college and his wrestling career. A tear would actually appear in the corner of my cheek before throwing something at the TV set. I don't think that'll happen, but if it does happen, I'd like to see Brock Lesnar land some knees since he's been big on throwing the elbows at John Cena, which we haven't seen that with Triple H yet. It's been all ham fists.
I'm trying to think of a finish where, like, Brock could go for a Kimura, but... But
Well, do you think Triple H does the Harley Race knee and does like the Harley Race series against Brock in this match?
I'm trying to think of what position they'd have to be in where Brock could go for his Kimura, but Hunter could reverse it into a straight arm bar and tap out Brock Lesnar.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Really, Mike? You know, you put this past them like, oh, this could never happen.
I honest to God, if I'm Brock Lesnar, I know it's a breach of contract. I know I'd get in trouble, but I might get some more love from Dana if I did this very quietly. I don't know. If I had to do something like that, I might just stick Triple H because why not?
We're going to talk.
Japan's got some money right now. I could go back over there and drop the IWGP title I never lost.
Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, WrestlingObserver.com. SummerSlam starting at any moment. We're talking about the Brock Lesnar Triple H finish again. We've spent almost 2 hours on this show, and we'll see what they do tonight. Dave Meltzer and I are going to be covering it later on. Mike was talking about if Brock was asked to lose via straight armbar, what would he do? And Mike, I honest to God, I read an interview with Paul Heyman talking about Brock, and first off, that interview aside, Brock doesn't care.
I know.
He doesn't care. I mean, he was upset, yes, when I think this all could have been an elaborate work on all of the boys, but reportedly he was upset when John Cena was not stretchered out after their first match. But Brock's going to do what they ask him to do. He doesn't care. And what he was talking about, what Paul was talking about in the interview was, Brock is a farmer. He just loves to farm. And Paul talks about how they drive down the road, and all Brock can talk about is farming. And he's talking about his crops, and he's talking about his combine or whatever. And Paul's like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about, but he just loves it. The guy's a farmer. He's got millions of dollars. He lives cheap. He doesn't care. He's in here, obviously, so that he can have as much money as he possibly can have, and if they ask him to lose to straight armbar, he's not going to ask to lose to a straight armbar. But they may tell him pedigree in the middle. He'll go, okay. He'll go out there, he'll have his match, and that'll be that.
I agree 100%. That's one of the forgotten things in about all this talking about Triple H and Lesnar and the whole nine yards is, does Brock really care? Although, if I'm him, I probably want to do this again in a couple of years if they're still throwing money around. So I don't know. I try to make myself look as good as this coming out, even though I am taking the easy money.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Watch SummerSlam, and if you don't, watch the live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer and I up later on tonight. Brand new radio show talking all the matches, all the news, backstage notes, and more only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up. You won't regret it, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody at Sports Byline. Talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.